today I want to talk about, you know, those times when we say, why me, God? Now, I know no one in here has ever said anything like that. Like, why me, God? Why is this happening to me? You know, maybe you've lost a job or you've had a health challenge and you might have said, you know, why me? Why this? Why now? Or maybe you've heard another person say, you know, why is this happening to me? Or maybe looking at, you know, a friend or a loved one, you might say, you know, why is this happening to him? Why is this happening to her? You know, why this hurricane? Why this tsunami? There are other times that there are other times other than just having challenges that we can say, why me, God? And there may be a life-changing situation that you're experienced, that you're being asked to walk through. Let me just give you an idea, an example of that. In 1988, Bill and I were living on Maui in Hawaii. I know it's a hard job, but somebody has to do it. And we owned a newspaper, but at this time in 1988, we had just sold our little newspaper on Maui to the daily newspaper on the island for quite a nice sum of money. And so we had a beautiful home. It wasn't oceanfront, but it was ocean view, so we had a great view and we were easy walk to the beach. Bill was still working at the newspaper as the editor, but now without the headaches of ownership, which was kind of fun, actually being able to take vacations. And I was working as a campaign assistant to the campaign director of a $31 million capital campaign to build a state-of-the-art theater on Maui. It's called the Maui Community Arts and Cultural Center. For those of you who might have been there and have visited there, I helped to raise $31 million to build that beautiful complex. Life was sweet. Oh, it was just, I mean, it couldn't get any better. I was telling Rita, we had birds of paradise out on our lanai, you know, and bougainvillea and banana trees and papaya. It was heaven. It was heaven in paradise. And one day I'm sitting in prayer and meditation. I hear this voice saying, apply to ministerial school. Become a unity minister. And I'm like, a minister? What? It wasn't even in the realm of my consciousness at that moment. I was traveling back to Unity Village to study to become a licensed Unity teacher. But minister? You know, and so I thought the message was for somebody else. Ever done that? And so I ignored it until it got so loud I could no longer ignore it. And I'm going, you want me to move from Maui to Missouri? It snows there. And within a few months, I got the application. I applied to ministerial school back in Missouri. I went for interviews. I was accepted. And there, Bill and I were preparing to move from Maui to Missouri. And as the Packers were packing up the house, I'm going, why me, God? Why me? I have a great life. Why me? And I heard again that voice that said, if not you, then who? And I thought in that moment, I really got it, that my life is not about self-gratification. But my life is about something much, much bigger wanting to emerge. And so I had always been really good at listening to guidance. I always knew when it was time to move from one phase of my life to another phase of my life. I mean, I had a fabulous career dancing on and off Broadway. But I knew when it was time to leave that career and move on to newspaper syndication sales. And I knew when it was time to leave newspaper syndication and go on to owning our own newspaper on Maui. I even knew when it was time to leave my beloved Maui and sell our newspaper. I always was good at listening to that voice. But now my life was going in a direction that in a million years I never, ever would have dreamed of. So it's not always, you know, a challenge that we walk through, but it could be a life-changing experience that we're asked to move through. And I want to share a story with you. I think this is a pretty remarkable story of a young man, a young boy, who came home from football practice one day and he collapsed with a 104-degree fever. And the doctor informed the family that it was polio. It was before the days of Dr. Salk, so there was no polio vaccination. The doctor informed George of the horrible truth. The polio has taken such a toll on your body that you'll probably never walk again without a limp, and you'll never have the use of your left arm. Barely able to speak, George whispered, "Doctor?" "Yes," the doctor, leaning over the bed, said, "What is it, my son?" "Go to hell," George said in a voice filled with determination. The next day, the nurse found him lying face down on the floor in his room. "What's going on?" said the shocked nurse. "I'm walking," George calmly replied. He refused the use of any braces or crutches. Sometimes it would take him 20 minutes to get up out of bed or up out of the chair, but he refused any assistance. George was destined to spend the next 3 falls in the hospital. In 1948, it was after he stepped on a rusty nail. In 1949, it was tonsillitis, just before he was to sing in an audition for Phil Harris. In 1950, it was third-degree burns over 40% of his body and collapsed lungs after an explosion had set George's body on fire. You can talk about challenges, boy. But after each challenge, George came back stronger and more sure of his ability to overcome any obstacle. He had read that if one looks at the roadblocks, he isn't looking at the goal. Armed with the gifts of the Spirit and the laughter of the soul, George Slater entered the world of show business and revolutionized television by creating and producing such innovative shows as Laugh-In, the American Comedy Awards, and then he won an Emmy for his special on Sammy Davis Jr. He had literally been through the furnace and had come out of it with a soul as strong as steel, and he used it to entertain a nation. Talk about overcoming challenges. Wow. Helen Keller once said, "Character cannot be developed in ease and quiet. Only through experiences can the soul be strengthened, vision cleared, ambition inspired, and success achieved." So it's not what happens to you. It's how you react to what's happening to you that really counts. And it's staying connected to God no matter what's happening. It's keeping that connection to God even when what's happening is the very thing that you don't want to be happening. William Shakespeare said, "There's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. So we're the ones who label our experiences as good and bad. What if, though, what if we could look at all of our life's experiences and look and see them as neutral? Neither good nor bad. Jesus said something very interesting in the very beginning of chapter 9 in the Gospel of John. And I'm reading from the Message Bible. "Walking down the street, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, causing him to be born blind?'" So his disciples are trying to find somebody to blame. They're trying to find somebody to point the finger at. You know, they're saying, you know, well, was it his parents' fault? Was it our fault? Was it his fault? Why is he blind? Jesus goes right on and says, "You're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame. There's no such cause-effect here. Look instead for what God can do." Look for what God can do. So Jesus is saying, don't ask what's wrong. Don't ask why. That's the wrong question. But instead, look to what God can do. Look to the something greater that's trying to emerge here, that's trying to happen. It's meaning that, what it means is that we're living our life from that deep place within us where when the most difficult thing is that can happen, happens. You don't lose your ground. You don't lose your connection to God. And that's called trust. It's called faith. And it's taking responsibility for your life. It's knowing, it's absolutely knowing that God is in charge. And it's knowing that you will be okay no matter what it is you're walking through. No matter what. Jesus, later on in the Gospel of John, in chapter 16, verse 33, he says, in this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties. But take heart, I've conquered the world. So Jesus is telling us, in this life, you will experience things that you wish weren't happening. In this life, you will run into some situations where you have no control over. In this life, you will have to learn something called trust, surrender, or else you will lose your peace. And so we can say, well, you know, here's what's happening, and I trust the process. Yeah, here's what's happening, but I'm going to have some faith here. I'm going to trust this situation. And when you do that, you will build spiritual strength because you will have the choice as to how you're going to respond in the situation. And in that lies your power. There's tremendous power there. So, you know, when what's happening, you know, is not what you want to be happening, don't look for somebody to blame. Don't look for somebody to make wrong. Stay centered and trust the process. And so when things around you are happening that you don't want to be happening, there's a mantra you can say. And it's a very highly spiritual mantra. When everything, you know, when there's nothing that you can do about a situation, just step back and say, oh, well, oh, well. And you can even take a nice deep breath with it. Oh, well, now what? Not why me, God, but oh, well, now what? Why are we blind? Why is this happening? The Christ of our being is saying so that God can do something wonderful. Look to see what God can do. And your job is to choose a response that is able to see the greater something that is trying to emerge, so that this greater something that wants to come forth can come forth. Now, we can either be devastated or we can, with God's help, see the situation in a whole new way. Now, you may not get what you think you want, but you just have to trust the process. Because if you stay stuck, then you won't be able to see what life wants to offer you. You won't be able to discover that. And so in the midst of the health challenge, in the, you know, when the relationship is ending, when the job, you know, you lose your job or you don't get the promotion that you wanted, no matter what's going on in the outer world, when things are, you know, things are happening around you, don't ask, why me, God? No, instead, learn to trust God. G-O-D. I have an acronym for that. Trust in the grand overall design. The grand overall design. Now, you may not be able to see it from where you're now standing, but it doesn't mean it's not there. And if you are so stuck on holding on to your point of view, you may never, ever, ever see it. There's a beautiful quote in Jeremiah chapter 33, and it goes like this, call to me, God saying this, God speaking this, saying, call to me and I will answer you. I'll tell you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own, ever. And so God's saying, call to me. Sit in the silence. Come to me and sit and know me. Connect. Do that connection. Be with me. And I'll show you things that you don't now know. And so the presence of God wants to show you wonderful and magnificent and incredible things where in this moment you don't have any clue about it. You don't have a clue. That doesn't mean it's not there. And so we need to learn three things in order to bring forth these wonderful and magnificent things that God wants us to know. Three things that we need to learn. The first thing that we need to do is to trust the process. Just trust the process. There's a magnificent, incredible energy source that is sourcing you and you have all the answers within you. Trust the process. Don't look for anybody to blame. Don't look for anybody to make wrong. Understand that what's coming up for you is about you. It's about you. It's about whatever's coming up for us. It's about us. No one else. And know that you have the ability to choose the response that you're going to have. The second thing we need to learn is to trust the grand overall design. Trust God. This grand overall design. Stay open to the presence and the power of God working in and through your life. And don't be so attached to your particular point of view that you don't let life show you what it wants you to know. And that you don't accept what life is offering you. Third thing we need to do is to trust God's plan will be revealed. Trust that God's plan will be revealed to you, that your greatest good is coming forth. That's faith. And faith is what we're going to talk about next week. So consider the idea, just consider it, that your life experience may not just be for you, but what you're going through may help someone else. Your life experience may help transform the life of someone else. And so, why do these things happen? Why me, God? So that God can show you wondrous and magnificent and marvelous things. And just look in each and every experience, see the blessing there. See the blessing, because the blessing is there. And so from now on, you will never again say, why me, God, will you? Instead, you'll say, oh, well, now what? So let's take a deep breath and let's say this together. Take a deep breath and together, oh, well, now what? And remember, your chaplains are here to pray with you after each service. Take advantage of them. God bless you.